Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Welcome to you all this morning, our brothers and sisters from Avon, our brothers and sisters from Geneseo. It's nice to be down here along Canisius Lake for a great time of worship this morning. We are going to have a chance to praise God with scripture, with song, with the word, with food and fellowship. And we are just so thankful for all of you to be here this morning. If you would please join with me in our call to worship as it is printed in the bulletin this morning, and we're going to be doing Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens.
You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you.
When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them?
Yet you made them only a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor.
You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority.
The fox and the herds and all the wild animals.
Let the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims, the ocean currents.
O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth.
And now with our choir friends from Geneseo and Avon, please come forward. Throughout the years, Linda Rosebrough and I have been able to get these beautiful people together to praise God. And today we have a wonderful opportunity to witness outdoors our faith and carry it out to the world. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel to every person.
Preach my gospel to every creature. Go ye read to you the scripture readings this morning. It is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, will you pray with me, please? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, I read this kind of fun little thing recently where somebody took up the challenge to sum up the entire Bible in 50 words. The whole thing. From Genesis to Revelation. And it ended up sounding like this. God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split, Jacob fooled, Joseph ruled, Bush taught, Pharaoh plagued, sea divided, tablets guided, promise landed, judges led, Saul freaked, David peaked, kingdom divided, prophets warned, people exiled, hope rose, Jesus born, God walked, anger crucified, love rose, spirit flamed, word spread, God remained. And so you see that's put together with a bit of lighthearted humor, but it also does achieve the task, and it proves that it can be done. If you could summarize the Bible in 50 words, then it surely takes a whole lot less words than that just to say a little bit about your faith, to talk about your faith. It doesn't take a whole lot at all to tell somebody the good news about Jesus. There's this story that I heard once that some of you have probably heard me share once if you're from my congregation in Avon. And I'm sure some of you have heard this from other sources before, but I love this story, so I'm sharing it with you again, all right? It's this ancient tale, and it's recounted in the Jewish Talmud. It's about this one smart aleck pagan who lived around the same time that Jesus did. He was thinking about becoming Jewish, but he wasn't completely committed to it. So he approached the wise and renowned Rabbi Hillel, and he told them that he would convert if the rabbi could sum up the entire Torah, or what we Christians call the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, in the time that he could tolerate standing on one foot. And so Rabbi Hillel smiled, stood on one foot, and then said, "What is hateful to yourself, don't do to your fellow man." That's the whole Torah. The rest is just commentary. The Talmud doesn't tell us how the pagan replied, but my best guess is that he probably converted. It's not hard to talk about our faith. It doesn't take much to be able to tell somebody why Jesus is important to you, why the church is important to you. It doesn't take a lot of thought. It doesn't take a lot of speaking skill. It really doesn't take a whole lot of anything to be able to tell somebody else why Jesus is something important in your life, something that you prioritize. The only thing, if you're going to be talking about Jesus, that you might have to store up a little bit is confidence, the bravery to just take the gumption and go do it. But once you got that, you're okay. In our gospel reading from Matthew, we hear the very, very last words that Jesus ever says. And he says them to his disciples, the people he spent all his time with, his very closest friends and companions. You have to think, if you were going to say your very last words to somebody, at least the last words they were ever going to hear you say before you went off to the next chapter of your life, or in Jesus's case, heaven, the afterlife, what would you pick to say to somebody so important to you, and especially to someone who was going to carry on something that you were doing? Of all the things that Jesus could have chosen to say, he went with this: go, make disciples. Teach people about Jesus so that they can love Jesus as much as they did. Help people find faith. Help people get baptized. Help people find redemption and grace. So there's a lot there. That was no small command. What Jesus left for his disciples was the entire responsibility of being the church and then leading the church. And then Jesus passed down that responsibility through all of the generations of disciples after the first one, going all the way down through us. So there's a lot of different things that Jesus wants to see in his church that he expects us to bring about. He wants to see baptisms. He wants to see confessions of faith. He wants to see forgiveness of sin. He wants to see testimony, teaching, preaching, healing. Everything that he did, he wants to see us do for one another and for other people, people that we don't know. So there's a whole lot of different things that not only can we do, but that we have to do in order to be able to obey Jesus. But in all of the actions that we take up in order to be able to follow Jesus, in order to follow this last commandment that he left for us, we can't do any of it by being silent. It takes speech from us in order to be able to follow Jesus. We can't follow Jesus and follow this command with passive or lukewarm commitment to our faith. We have to be strong Christians, not the kind that come here on Sunday and then go home and forget about everything you said here for the rest of the week, but the kind that take what you learn here on Sunday and then integrate it to what you do Monday through Saturday. If you're following Jesus the way that he wants us to, with devotion and with integrity, then it should be impossible for us on most days, and especially in the important moments, to be quiet about our faith. We should feel compelled, if we're that devoted to Jesus, to tell people about him. And that all sounds fine in theory. And you can hear me say that, and then you can kind of nod along and go like, okay, yeah, Pastor Natalie, that sounds fantastic. But then tomorrow morning, what are you doing to follow through with that? If you find yourself in the middle of whatever your typical week looks like for you, when you're in your cubicle or your classroom or your office, or whatever retired people do in the middle of the week, then how do you talk about your faith? This can be something that we can agree is important, but it's something that can feel really awkward for mainline Protestants, people who like to worship generally the same way that we do. Because we're not exactly taught a whole lot about this, the subject that we call evangelism, sharing our faith, going out into the nations and talking about Jesus. It's not exactly something that we're wired for. For some of our other brother and sister Christians, they're taught a lot more about this. Our brothers and sisters that we specifically call evangelical Christians, they take on evangelism and integrate it right into their name. And some of them come armed with supplies that they can give out to people. Some of you, especially if you're from my congregation, have heard stories of tracts that I have been handed in the past. Or samples of contemporary Christian music. That's my favorite. And of course, if you've ever stayed in a hotel room, you know what the Gideon Society does to evangelize, to hand out the Bible. I have a friend who's a United Methodist pastor that carries with him a little bag of handmade wooden crosses in his pocket. And anytime he feels the occasion to, he takes one out and gives it to someone. I have two of them. And I have things in my office that I can hand out to people when the mood strikes me. Things like bookmarks and post-it notes. Things that feel maybe a little bit more in our mainline Protestant wheelhouse. Things we'd be more comfortable actually carrying in our pockets. Because not all of us carry a big bag of little wooden crosses in your pocket. The most important thing about this is that if you're going to talk about Jesus, however you do it, you have to do it in a way that is natural and comfortable for you. Not in a way that feels like something that you are taking on because you have to do it. And not in a way that feels forced or authentic. Because if Jesus is that close to your heart, then it should just be an extension of you. It should feel natural. For some of us, we just can't even imagine doing this. The easiest way to get started is just staying true to you and staying true to your faith story. What made you get out of bed and come here this morning? Some spark, something that you would miss if you didn't come here, something that you wanted to find here. And all of the different things that we find here are all legit. For a lot of us, it's companionship. This is where we see our friends and family. Well, and this is where we're seeing the face of Christ and people that we love. And that is a good thing. That is a good way to introduce people to Christ through the faces of people who love him, because we carry the image of Jesus with us. That love is one way that every single one of us evangelizes. However you answer that question for yourself, what is it that brings me to church? If you can answer that question for yourself, you can answer it for other people too. For some of us, when we start talking about this whole Jesus stuff, it takes the form of either a call story or a born-again story. And some of us have one of those that we feel so intimately comfortable with, we can just sort of spontaneously start talking about it. But that's not true for everybody, and that's okay. It was true for Paul in the Bible. He had his tale of how he was knocked off his horse on his way to Damascus by a bolt of lightning that took the form of Jesus and told him to stop persecuting Christians and start converting them instead. For John Wesley, the founder of what became our tradition, the Methodist tradition, he had this story about how his heart was strangely warmed after he visited that one church on Aldersgate Street. This became his Aldersgate story that he talked about over and over and over until he died, and then wrote down so that other people would tell one another about his Aldersgate experience. Even though I don't exactly float that way in this whole born again vein, and I don't exactly have that kind of story, I've been asked about my journey into the ministry enough times that I have sort of an elevator speech that I can give people. So if you and I are going from one floor to the next in an elevator, before the door opens again, I can tell you why I'm a minister. Please don't put me up to that challenge today, although some of you probably will if you're cheeky enough. But I can do it. It's not the most natural thing for me, though. What matters is just that what you say is authentic and it's yours because it comes from your faith. It's something that's close to you. You're not really here because somebody made you be here. We're grown-ups, most of us. Once you make that choice to be here, you're here because you want to be, because you really, really want to be. So what is that thing that pulls you here? It's something that's important to you. For some people, when we start talking about what it is about our faith that brings us here and keeps us here, it has to take a very different shape than some of the things that I've already said. So for some people, it takes the form of Christian community service, things like serving soup kitchens. They tell about Jesus by doing, by serving the people that Jesus asked them to. Or by service in a Christian hospital, or by service in Christian missionary work or other Christian volunteer work. And for some people, we have to go even further outside of the box than that. We have to find a different way to tell someone about Jesus. You might not really even have an answer to that question today. How do you tell people about Jesus? How do you talk about your faith? And that's okay. You don't have to have an answer for that today. But it's worth thinking about. And since we're starting a new school year, even for those of us that are way past school, it's still something to revisit every once in a while, and now's as good a time as any. Do people that you don't know hear about your faith ever? Because they should, at least every once in a while. And your faith should take you outside of your comfort zone, at least sometimes. Unsurprising to some of you, at least those of you who noticed that I got up here and sang with the choir, The most comfortable way for me to talk about my faith is to go back to my roots. The first way that someone ever talked to me about faith, which was through music. When I was really little, the church I grew up in had a pretty good kids' choir program, and I had a bit more gusto than a lot of the other kids in the kid choir and commitment to it. So I was there every week in my nice little velveteen dress and, you know, Mary Jane shoes. And I still remember most of the songs that I learned then. And that's just stayed with me. Right now, for me, that means singing in choirs of grown-ups. But when I was little, it meant singing with other littles. That was the first place that I learned how to tell people about Jesus. Our favorite song in our choir of littles that we would sing to the congregation every single month was one that only has a couple of words and then has hand gestures that go with it. And eventually, you lose the words. You stop using the words and you just use the hand gestures. And it goes on for 3 verses. It's a really easy one to learn. It's also kind of catchy, which is why kids like it so much. So some of you might have heard this before, and some of you haven't. But this is how I'm going to end my message to you, with the first way and the easiest and most natural way for me to talk about Jesus. Deep and wide.
Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
Then you hum. Then we've got a silent verse. Amen.
I was just going to make a funny and ask if you want to stay up here and lead us in our hymn. You did a wonderful job with that one. Stand up and let's move on to our hymn. Our grill is going over there. They got the hots and the hamburgers. As soon as they are ready, we will announce that food can be had over there. So if you would, please, right now, bow for a benediction, and then once we are ready to eat, we will have a formal blessing on the meal. Now, may our gracious and loving God, who has come to us in the grace and the mercy of Jesus, and who sends us out into the world to be his light of love, may our gracious God bless you and keep you this day and every day. Amen.
This has been Go and Make Disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, with Geneseo United Methodist Church at Long Point Park on September 9th, 2018. Geneseo Pastor Keith Griswold shares the service with our pastor, Natalie Bowerman. The combined choir sang Go Ye Into All the World in a picnic pavilion.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.